Are we podcasting now?
Yeah.
That we're all right. So let me tell you about my morning.
No. What happened with you today?
Ooh, boy. All right. So I woke up and I forgot entirely that I had a conference call at 8:30, which is before I'm actually supposed to be at work. But I had also scheduled an HVAC guy to come at 9. Oh. So I'm like wrapping up this call and like rapidly muting and unmuting myself so I can talk to the HVAC guy. I'm like, hey, man, we're on this call. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Yeah. I just got to wrap this up and then we'll just, yep. 3 o'clock is good for me. I can jump on a meeting around 3. Okay. And And as soon as I finish this, we're going to
take on the
call
like, Dave, what are you talking about? Air filters? Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I overbooked myself hard. Yeah, so and so I got the day off on a totally wrong foot, and it just went haywire from there. We got it back. We got it back, guys,
nice.
In case you were curious. I'm so
thrilled for you.
I know, right? Dude, that was my big adventure.
Dave's big adventure. That's like an adult adventure.
Hold on, wait. What have you guys been up to?
I mean, I watched some movies today.
Oh! Wow.
Went outside for a walk, you know. I've been playing a lot of frisbee golf.
I can't believe you guys watched the movies the day of.
I watched them yesterday.
Yeah, I know. You couldn't find it on YouTube.
I thought it was Field of Dreams.
You thought it was Field of Dreams?
I was like, man, this fucking movie's going to be so boring with Kevin Costner. And it's like Ray Liotta just shows up at a cornfield. And then after I finally got it, I was like, oh, totally different movie. I'm so glad we're not watching Angels in the Outfield, Fields of Dreams, though.
Wait a minute. Have you seen Angels in the Outfield
before?
Yeah,
no, now that I...
Are we just talking about movies?
I just totally got my mystical baseball movies confused. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I mean,
I definitely did. I was like, hey, this movie's gonna be, how is there a remake? He's an old-timey baseball player. Like, they're going to be an even old-timer? Like,
Kevin Costner comes back. He's in the outfield. He's one of the dead people.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Old Arnold Schwarzenegger. but no, I was pleasantly surprised that they were these movies.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed them. We kind of picked these without Brandon's input.
They've been on the top of the list forever.
Well, you know, I figured
well,
it was
they start with A. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Alphabetically. I felt like it was a good summertime movie,
it is.
You know?
No, for, I agree.
You know, we've been doing a lot of, I mean, not serious, but like intense.
Terminator, Star Trek.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's been.
Some serious movies.
Big
Star
franchise,
some
major
tight
90s, remake.
Low stakes movies.
Yeah.
This was nice. It was a refresher.
Serious, big budget, like yeah. Recent. No,
the,
Angels
the
in
the
Pennant
is very high stakes, Brandon. I mean, a kid had his dinner.
I mean, it's not Judgment Day.
I mean, I guess.
Wait, hold on. Are we just going to play the intro and get right into this?
Oh, sorry.
I don't know. What do we want to talk about?
Hit it! Ooh, rock and roll.
I was practicing it all day because I don't know my script.
I mean, I could always be louder. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.
A podcast where we're going to dissect reboots, remakes, retcons, and requels of our favorite movies and TV shows.
This week, the left headphones out again, and also Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield.
You guys believe in angels?
No.
I mean...
Sounds like you're saying it's okay to believe in God, but not angels.
It's not okay to believe
in... Isn't somebody
either?
Just looking for their own angel anyway?
No.
That's what the lady in the second one said. She's like, they want a parent. They want somebody to look over them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was a little bit more watered down than the first, like...
Crazy Pigeon Lady from Home Alone?
Well, that's right.
Oh, yes.
That's where I know her from. Nicely done, Dave.
That's, Christine pointed it out.
Nice.
I mean...
Did you notice how many fucking famous people were on that team?
Dude.
By the way.
Everybody. in the remake, of course.
Of course.
The one that everyone's seen. No one's seen the 1951 one. And no one watched it for this episode.
No.
Twitter us at...
Navcast.
If you watched the 1951 version or if you've seen it.
I don't know anybody who's ever watched it.
We didn't know it existed.
We did, yeah, exactly.
I didn't know this was a remake until...
I'll tell you what. I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
I thought it was really good.
It was a cute... 50s movie, like it was
black and white.
Janet Leigh was really good as the
lady.
Yes, the house,
the woman in the movie.
The woman.
Aside from the blatant sexism, it was a great movie.
What are you talking about? This was the most progressive movie of its day. I'm shocked to hear you say she was a lady reporter.
She was a lady reporter at a baseball game.
And you know how many exactly?
It was weird because she was a household tips that they just like household tips columnist.
They wanted a woman's perspective.
Oh, that's right.
That exactly. That that's yeah. progressive for the 50s. What's wrong with you?
Well, I don't know anything about this game of baseball.
Exactly. And yet they gave her the opportunity to cover it. The equal
but at the
opportunity.
End of the movie, we all know she'd be better in the kitchen.
Yes. That's, I mean, that's the point.
Well, that was the moral of her story. That was
I
her
mean,
arc.
She did get married in the end.
It, yeah, which is cute. Which it, like, you didn't see it coming, but you're like, when she said, oh, there's problems, you know, with the courts if you're unmarried.
It
you're
was
like,
kind of
really,
nice.
The old guy's going to marry Janet Leigh? All right.
It was like three misfits coming together. It was this cobbled together family that
it was
that
a different
just,
dynamic in the remake.
Why was she a misfit?
Because
she was a woman covering sports.
She was an upstanding.
I was just going to say, she's a woman
she's
who had a job.
Woman.
In the 50s, she was above the age of 18 and unmarried.
Totally.
She was a spinster.
Totally not blatantly sexist movie.
For a time, this is an incredibly progressive film, Jay.
I think it was like not only was subtly she sexist. It wasn't like, stay in the kitchen, woman. It was just subtle. It was subtle. She was a household
There was no
tip
see in the kitchen, woman. She didn't even know how to cook.
Actually, that was kind of the joke.
She wasn't a stereotype. She wasn't a housewife, a kept woman. She didn't bother with that shit. She had a career.
It was also, given context, 1950 fucking one.
Exactly. Like, this is a progressive
it
film.
It was actually, for the time, not that bad.
I still say not only is it not that bad, it's downright progressive at that point in history.
Hey, it's not
1951.
I don't think Angels in the Outfield 1951 was blazing any trails back then.
Are you kidding me? It tackled toxic masculinity in the coach being a fucking rude asshole, and he has to reform himself
I
to the angel's
it.
Approval.
I kind of see it.
This is the most progressive movie of the
it
decade.
It reinforced the trope of the asshole.
No, it
yes,
was a bad thing.
100% reinforces the trope.
To reinforce it, you have to say it's a positive thing.
That the
it wasn't encouraging.
That the asshole needs a woman to change.
No, that he got redeemed.
No,
by
that the angels are what changed, and the woman didn't do shit. He had already redeemed himself. That's
or
why
the prize, the, whatever that thing is.
That's
the
why
prize.
She.
The prize,
guys. I didn't.
She
not
wasn't
know
a prize. She was a
prize. The woman was the
I didn't
prize.
I didn't know we were gonna get this heated this early.
I don't even think he asked her to marry him. Did she? She said.
It's
she
implied.
Said yes.
She said. She said. There's no problem.
There's
here.
No problem yeah. here. She was. He didn't even ask her. She technically asked him
Listen,
to Brent, marry
you're
her.
My liberal sounding board here. You,
but
you
I gotta,
know exactly what
but
I'm talking about.
But he agrees with me.
Fuck.
He watched the movie.
And today, I kind of agree with Dave. Like it was. Was certainly outside the box for the time. It wasn't.
You look at the movie
it
in
wasn't,
the context of the it, time it was written.
Yeah,
and performed.
Again, it was 1951. Were there any black people that weren't servants? No.
Was there? There was the one black.
No.
There was one black guy.
Two. There was one on the train and one washing the sign on the front of the building.
Mm, okay, so not too progressive.
No, no.
I mean,
still 1951.
You can't have blacks doing things that don't involve manual labor.
Did you see any black ball players?
At the time.
No, was it still the Negro League? I don't know.
I don't think so.
By 51, I think they must have been integrated.
Guess Hollywood didn't get the memo.
When was Jackie Robinson?
I don't remember.
I don't know these are things that
Brandon?
No.
I don't know baseball.
You don't know? You know?
I mean,
you don't know the answer to that.
Brandon's our resident sports guy.
Brandon doesn't know the answer to when Jackie Robinson was admitted into the NFL.
You're right. I don't know when he was the
NCAA.
Yep.
Huge when they integrated the NCAA.
At least this isn't 99% sure.
Yeah, Jay's checking on that for us. But yeah, incredibly progressive movie. This was trailblazing at the time. Trailblazing.
It had its ups and its downs. It had some.
I mean, name it down.
Again,
other than black people were shown in jobs that they pretty much had at the time.
I mean, you're right, but it. They could have, like...
Fortunately, now we have a lot of black doctors, black lawyers, black presidents, black everything.
Black
at the time, you didn't see a lot of that. There
no,
was still... was 50s was before, like, the busing integration and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, so I'm saying it's not exactly progressive in that respect.
Well, it's progressive.
It's
just still
it's
accurate.
Definitely played outside the box with the
Listen, you can't get everything. Movies made in the 2010s still don't have, you know, like, even the Beauty and the Beast where there's supposed to be this gay character was not... So, like, you can't have everything in your movie.
Yeah.
At the time, were there some things that were accurate and could have been changed?
Yeah.
Sure. But were there some progressive strains in this movie?
I don't think
Absolutely.
It was a straight play on stereotypes completely. There were stereotypes in it, for sure. But it,
such
like,
as?
Like the bad, like, drunk, his antagonist guy. He was, like, such a trope for the time.
Who?
Yeah, like, the reporter guy.
The reporter, yeah, the reporter.
Oh, the newscaster, the announcer, whatever he was? Yeah, but
and he was
drunk
and came over and like that doesn't happen. Although you did see Tony Danza smoke.
But that's not a non-progressive. That's not a regressive thing. That's just a drunk guy being a. It's a little bit corny. It's a little bit done at this point. At this point, but back then it was the 50s.
Janet Leigh's dialogue when she first goes into his apartment, while it was funny. It was
Do you live here?
Yeah, it was funny, but it was like.
Well, he was a slob.
Yeah, and she's a household like anal retentive person, like
exactly.
But you know what I mean? That's her job, is like household tips.
Exactly. It fit perfectly with her personality.
Yeah,
as a woman.
It wasn't just shoehorned in because she
as
was
a woman.
She
cared about the home.
Why wasn't there a man in charge of household tips?
Because at a time it would have been more likely a woman, Jay, but she was given the opportunity to write for sports.
This is a little bit sexist.
I'm trying to take
the
I'm trying to say there were progressive.
Right now, maybe it would be,
it was
Jay.
Also my movie from 1951. That's all I'm
exactly.
saying.
Right now, listen, if you wrote this movie today,
yeah.
don't get me wrong.
No,
but for the 50s, yeah. this was an incredibly progressive movie. I was very impressed.
I don't know if it was
impressed.
Like lauded as one, but through the lens
it should have been. They didn't know about toxic masculinity.
They didn't have a name for it.
That's the thing.
They didn't have a name for it.
They were tackling issues they didn't even understand.
That was how progressive this was.
That was
called being a man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was called being an asshole.
It wasn't called being a good man.
They
did call it out. Like they were like, don't swear, don't punch people.
Yeah. Don't be violent and offensive.
People.
And exactly.
That was the lesson.
Exactly. It portrayed that in a negative light, as it should be. Because if you're going to define toxic masculinity, that's it.
Whose arc did you like better? Danny Glover's or the original guys?
Art?
Arc.
Character oh, arc. Arc. I like the original guys better.
I guess, yeah.
Danny Glover really only just stopped.
They phoned in the whole adoption thing right at the end too. You're like, mm-hmm. oh, of course they had to do that, but like
they
never...
phoned in the whole being nice for the angels thing too, because the kid just goes
that
like,
totally
I don't think they like swearing.
That was a totally different dynamic.
Yeah,
like the original guy was talking to
that
you.
Was the whole point.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, the angels came down and were like, hey, you got to improve yourself, mm-hmm. and then we'll like good things will happen
and
to you.
It was
you.
Just like kind
it's
of
it's a very thin metaphor.
Danny Glover just listened to this little kid and he was like, oh, I guess I should. And
yeah.
maybe there's angels.
What do you mean you see angels?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think that they actually.
Like,
okay,
like, I'm
well,
just
going to
use you as a baseball
that.
Charm.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, this is working.
Exactly. He didn't even
You're
really
right.
believe.
But it's Danny Glover. I like Danny Glover, too.
Oh, I love Danny Glover. Good. But if you're talking about whose
he
arc
just
is better,
finished Killing the Predator,
guy.
And then he made this movie.
Yes.
He's a very busy man.
Exactly.
He just put down all the riots in L.A.
Riggs! I don't know if this is before or after Lethal Weapon.
It was after. Very
it
after.
Had to be. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's good.
Detective Murtaugh. yeah, no, it was a fantastic film, the 50s version.
The 50s was fun.
I was
impressed. More pleased with it. A lot of times we watch these old movies, and sometimes
and
they're
garbage. Just
like...
Yeah.
But this one was...
Yeah, no,
like,
this was
oh,
good.
Movie. Tight 90, good story.
I was
story.
Entertained
Everybody
the
was a
whole time.
Yeah. Character. Everybody was a good character. Mm-hmm. Like, man, it was well done.
Even the kid who kid actors even today are like...
Kid
oh,
actors
oh.
usually suck. And
kid actors
bad.
Back then were horrendous.
Yeah.
I mean, she was manageable. She was bearable.
Yeah, she was tolerable. It yeah. wasn't focused on her, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
well, she
trick.
Wasn't the star of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah.
We needed a young Joseph Gordon-Levitt for the new one.
Oh, my gosh. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
His little buddy.
And
TJ? No.
TJ?
Something like
CJ?
That.
CJ? MJ?
Yeah.
Mary Jane?
Yep.
Spider-Man!
Michael Jackson. King of Pop.
I don't remember the kid. CJ, maybe. I don't remember the kid.
Something like that. JP.
But then he adopts both of them, and I was like...
That's kind of an afterthought. That's
yeah.
what it felt like. Oh, hey, we won the pennant. I guess I should adopt you guys now. Aren't
yeah.
you happy?
Complete the circle of you're going to get a dad when the Angels win the pennant.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. They teed that one up
true.
For a while.
That's yeah, that was the beginning. But it wasn't his
also,
dad
how...
dad. It was, it's, you know...
Right. It's a better dad.
Yeah.
But also, how dumb of a kid. Like, that kid's like 12 years old. You should know that doesn't mean that.
You seem like you've been in the system for a while.
Yeah.
You probably know.
When can we be a family again? By the looks of things, when the Angels win the pennant. Oh, all I have to do is get the Angels to win the pennant. Like,
yep,
and then we'll be a family
fool.
Again. Like, dude, you're a little too old yeah. for that mistake.
Santa's not coming either, bro.
Is that all?
Yeah, right.
What's his name from?
It was Dermot
Joseph
Mulroney. Green. I don't
oh,
what you're gonna say about
the dad. I thought he was. I can't remember the actor's name. He's
Henry Winkler.
Yeah, it was the Fonz.
Yeah,
he was.
All right,
it was clearly
Fonz.
Modeled
yeah.
after
yeah.
him.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
the guy who played one of the dudes in Heroes. I can't remember the dude he played in Heroes,
Maybe?
And he played the husband in This Is Us.
I think you're right on that one.
Is it the same?
All I know is his name is Dermot Mulroney. And I saw him in other 90s stuff.
The dead husband on This Is Us.
Oh, look that
Spoiler
up.
Alert.
I, yeah.
This Is Us.
in case you ever wanted to watch a show that's going to give a serious fuck you to the audience.
I don't know. I've never seen that. What is This Is Us?
It's an NBC.
It's an NBC drama about like a family and like it's like a mixed family. It's really good. It's like it's a really well done show. Very like emotional. And then like at one point they just kill the dad. But like you know that it happens. You know that it's like so like. You know, basically, for the entire series, that
it's like
dad,
it's kind of like a
the dad's dead.
Yeah,
right. You don't know how it happens, Okay. And then, like 2 years ago at the Super Bowl, it was the post Super Bowl show, and they had it, and it happened. And even then, like it's still like, even though you knew the dad was gonna die, like you knew it was gonna happen, you didn't know when. So then this thing happens, then he survives, and then he dies right after in the episode. So you're like, okay, he's going to be fine. And then 5 minutes later, he fucking dies.
Fake out.
Like, holy shit.
Oh, we subverted your expectations.
That was definitely,
subverted your expectations.
But yeah, I heard someone describe that really well, actually.
Was it OSP? Have you ever, Overly Sarcastic Productions? That was like,
no.
They just did a video on that, and they like perfectly explained plot twist versus subverting expectations.
Oh, I was just
like,
going to say.
Oh, they're really good.
It's like this history of like, most stories used to be predictable,
yeah.
And then at some point like they got old, and so people started to try to write unpredictable stories, and now it's just a constant race for that thing that hasn't been done, like
yeah.
The thing you didn't expect,
mm-hmm.
The twist, but
like,
people are just
was
reaching
to, like,
for
Game
it.
Game of Thrones and shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I wonder if that person watched that video because that was like exactly that point.
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure they're not the first people to say it.
No. But they like, I was like, oh, I get what makes a good plot twist and what's just kind of subverting expectations.
Right, set up?
Shit. Yeah.
And subverting expectations isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world. It has a
no, it can be done.
No, but it has to be done well.
Yeah,
that's
also,
the problem.
Yeah.
It seems like you could just do anything right now and just be
Ryan
like,
Johnson.
You didn't see that coming. It's sort of like, right, well, great.
Like Ryan Johnson ruined that, like M. Night Shyamalan.
I think so.
Twist.
Someone put it, super over the top, where it was like, okay, what if the next Star Wars movie, Luke shows up, he's revived, he's only wearing a diaper, he jumps into space and chops all the Star Destroyers in half, stands on the sun and says, Kylo Ren, you must come back to the light side, because it is actually cool, I forgot. Your expectations would be subverted.
Yes.
But that would be hot garbage.
I would want my money back.
Exactly.
Yes.
So you have to subvert expectations
in a
gratifying
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The audience goes, ooh, instead of, aw.
Yeah, not,
Yeah. So
it's
not a goal in of itself.
Yes.
You should, if you can do it along
exactly.
the way of telling a good
mm-hmm.
story, well done. But you shouldn't just, your one goal shouldn't be like, gotcha.
You know,
see that coming, huh?
These movies did not have any twists or subverting.
No, and they were still fine movies.
It was pretty like just formulaic good stuff.
Hey,
like,
no Oscars were won that day.
No,
but,
no.
But I mean, they were fine.
Christopher Lloyd deserved
better than
something
fine.
For his 14 minutes of screen time.
Christopher Lloyd
was
in
criminally
this movie.
Underused.
Yeah.
Criminally underused.
Yeah.
He's Christopher fucking Lloyd.
So you remember the scene where Christopher Lloyd is, so if in case you haven't seen it and you're some sort
oh, yes.
of moron, Christopher Lloyd plays one of the angels. He's like the head angel. He's the one who
he's
talks
like
to the
kind of like the
kid
communicator, but again, he talks to the kid.
He's also
the
like the comedy relief.
Yeah.
Oh,
he is in the,
is,
the like
right?
social, the public, social media.
In like a wacky
the,
character.
The guy's assistant is the comic relief, too.
Taylor
oh,
Agron.
He is, too.
Oh, he's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, yeah, he
rest
is. He
he's
is excellent.
Early, but he's like a, he's
oh, really?
A character actor that was in like tons of shit.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
funny,
he's
too.
Classic. Yeah.
And the pitcher.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well,
the
all
guy,
the team was great.
The guy from Band of Brothers.
Oh, let's get
yeah.
to the team. Okay, so we had.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, Neil McDonough. He played like a dumb guy in this, and he was great.
Yeah.
He was really funny.
He was the guy who had all the
like,
weird pitching habits
did, like,
and stuff.
And then actually punched himself in the face.
Yep.
Very funny. You got fucking Oscar winning Adrian Brody.
Yep.
You got
just
Matthew
a random player.
McConaughey.
Yep, Matthew
both
McConaughey.
Both of them have like
team.
Three fucking lines.
Mm-hmm.
And the stars of it are Tony Danza and Danny Glover.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony fucking Danza is in this movie.
There was a couple other like just great character actors that you're like, oh, that guy, like the big yeah, the catcher was the big catcher guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been
I figured
forever.
You'd know
yeah,
all
he
of them.
Played the commentator.
Oh, that guy is
the
yeah,
villain,
the big
he's
face
another
guy.
One.
Yeah. Yes,
big
he's
chin.
Been in a million things.
Johnny Big Chin.
Johnny Big Guy.
Yep.
He was a
yeah,
good
he was good. Except, I almost didn't. So in both movies, this guy, this announcer guy, gets beat up and then fired. And I just had a hard time seeing them as the villain.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know?
I can see it more in the 1950s where he threatened to run him out
and
of baseball.
And also he had to get fucking dental work.
Yeah, sure. You know what it was? In the new one, Danny Glover has like a one-liner about why they hate each other.
They fuck each other over
something.
He hates
him from when they were both playing in the majors. And
yes. They never like go any deeper than that, but there's some...
I feel like we didn't see it. Where in the 50s version, we saw it. We saw this guy being like a huge dick.
Yeah.
And so it made it easier to dislike him.
Yes.
In the new one, it was just like, oh, Danny Glover's kind of a dick to this guy.
Like, he's got a chip on his shoulder
from the get-go.
Danny Glover's an asshole.
Yeah,
him,
they clearly don't like each other, but then Danny Glover punches the guy. And at the end of the movie, the owner of the team leans in and is like, you're fired. For no reason. What did he... Because he knew Danny Glover didn't like him?
And then don't get that
We get the sequel where he says, I have a contract. Like,
well, there's a sequel?
No, I'm joking.
Oh.
He's like, I have a contract.
Not employed
like,
by, he's not employed by the...
That's what I was wondering, too.
No,
he's got to be like...
Commentators like that aren't... They're
they
employed
have like
by
their
the
own,
radio.
Yeah.
So, like, you would have... what is it? 880 carries. Mm-hmm. You have John Sterling and Susan Waltman, who are the voice of the New York Yankees.
So wait, even if you're like the guy at the park who's making the announcements to the
park?
Yeah,
so if you're the commentator, that's not a guy. The guy who makes the announcements to the park
is the same as being broadcast.
Like, now batting number two, like that's employed by the park, but they're just over the public address. You go to a baseball game, you don't get color commentary. Just like you go to any sports game, you don't get color.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So those guys are employed by whatever radio station
has
is the radio station of the Angels of Anaheim.
Right, whoever...
what are they, the California
I question
Angels?
How they run that stadium.
Yeah. So he's the voice of the Angels on, you know...
The voice of the Angels.
10:50 a.m. the Angels
title.
Radio Network.
Like if you say the voice of the Texans, it doesn't sound quite as... But if you're the voice of the Angels, wow.
You got a little bit of clout there.
Comes with some weight.
Yes.
Hey, in the 50s version, did they really use the... Who was it? The what team was it? The Pittsburgh Pirates? The Pittsburgh...
It was the Pirates.
It was the stadium and the...
It was the Pirates, and it was the Yankees was the final game.
Did they use real players? I don't know enough about old-time baseball.
No.
Oh, okay.
Say it in the beginning.
There was a
well, they say, the Pittsburgh Pirates were kind enough to let us use them to tell our story. I didn't know if that just meant they used the stadium and the uniforms.
Bing Crosby
or...
was the only, he was the owner, and he was like, if they're going to use my name, I'm going to show up in the movie.
Well, hi, I'm Bing Crosby.
It's always nice to have somebody looking out for you.
I thought it was probably, they knew Bing Crosby was in showbiz.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, if we're going to get anybody to let us use the team, Bing would understand.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I feel like that's how that went down.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's kind of neat the way they did that.
That was cute.
That
so, like,
50s
the three
version.
People that we would recognize.
Yeah. It just when he talks to the Angels and he's looking for the
that
coin
was good.
And everything.
That was good.
It wasn't over the top. It wasn't overdone. You didn't need Christopher Lloyd bouncing off the walls, being in a bubble. Like,
you didn't need
shitty
CG Angels.
Then.
By the way,
you couldn't. And listen, the CG Angels may have added to the movie. I'm not saying they didn't, because it was cool to see what the Angels were actually doing.
God, those effects dated.
Oh, no, those effects hold up terribly.
But my point is, it was done well in the 50s version still without all the effects.
Yeah, you didn't need it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they told a good story without it.
There was no special effects, maybe save for the makeup on his face.
Because I was half expecting going in, being like, well, how are they going to fucking show the Angels? It's probably going to be like fucking cheesy, like in what they're going to be. It's black and white, so they're going to be dressed in all white, and it's going to be some weird like camera effect.
And it was
fine.
Didn't
even
the kid called it out.
No,
explained.
They didn't do anything. There was like nothing really supernatural.
They were just watching over the game.
They were like in their ear or whatever.
The one was talking to him, but she was like, "There's several, but they're not doing anything."
Oh right, yeah. They were just with them.
Yeah, one was sitting on the scoreboard.
Like you got an angel with you.
Yeah, one's behind third base or whatever. Like
I did think
in the
90s version, it did help to
to
show the
plus we got
gave
we
you
got
an
more
idea
action.
Of
like
yeah,
it's a 90s movie. We had to have something in the middle there.
Like, yeah, and they were like cool. Like, you know, the ball would go fast, and he would like it would help the
Matthew
ball.
McConaughey flying.
Matthew McConaughey being grabbed under the arms. there were effects.
It
that
was fun.
I thought they added to it.
Goofy, but fun.
No.
But just those Angels, I was like, oh, oof.
Hey, listen, as CGI goes, it's not the worst.
I guess it was 94, 95?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like real people, and so it's not CGI people, so the people look
true.
Real.
It wasn't
they're
like
just CGI'd back. Into this the scenes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Angel glow hides most of like that that transition funk that kills your eye. So I actually thought it was pretty well done for a 90s movie where they had angels coming out of the sky and shit.
It was Papa Disney.
I mean, you couldn't have made Jurassic Park with pure CGI like that. Like, if you just CGI'd those dinosaurs in, like, I feel like it would have looked worse than that shit.
I mean, they'd look terrible in white flowing robes. But
yeah, they would.
Where are you going to find a robe that big?
Plus, all dinosaurs don't go to heaven. So next week, we're doing All Dogs Go to Heaven. Did they remake that?
No.
I feel like there's a live-action version of that coming.
Oh, God.
That's what they do now.
Those movies, the Don Bluth movies, are so distinct animation-wise.
Oh, like, the sad, depressing ones?
The ones that fucked us up. Secret of Nim, mm-hmm. like American Tale, like all those.
What was the one with the sky is falling? That's got to be him, too.
Oh, the rock and roll.
Oh,
rooster.
That's it. Yeah, not the sky is falling, the rooster guy.
I don't remember the name, but the rock and roll Elvis-y rooster.
Yeah, and
animal.
He gets.
Christine knows. What is it?
Rock-a-doodle.
Rock-a-doodle. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
Don Bluth.
Absolutely.
He made some interesting movies.
Yeah, he was a disturbed individual,
yeah,
apparently.
Well, he worked for Disney, and then he was like, I'm going to strike out on my own. And he did old game? Castle Quest?
King's Quest.
Thank you. King's Quest.
King's Quest?
Yeah.
He did King's Quest?
Absolutely, he did.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a classic tongue-in-cheek fantasy RPG.
I never got very far, but I like watching places.
Choose your adventure game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a perfectly succinct way to describe that.
People know what you're talking about. Left, right.
Walking simulator.
Almost.
Exactly. A click and move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Choose your conversation option.
But they need to leave those movies alone. I feel like Disney can...
You're getting live action versions of all of this, pal.
Disney doesn't own it. They shouldn't have to put it through the...
Doesn't matter. You're getting live action versions.
How many episodes are we in?
Look at Lion King.
I should know this by now.
Yeah.
They're going to remake everything, and this podcast will never end.
Yeah, because a lot of those cartoons aren't, like, cool if you live-action them now, but you do, like, look at Aladdin. Like, you live-action whatever now.
I don't want to look at
it. I don't know. I know, right?
We're going to have to do that
event. Howard the Duck, I mean, just, there's plenty of good, you don't know Howard the Duck is?
I know Howard the Duck.
Oh, there's a live-action version.
No, there was he showed up in, like, a Marvel animation recently.
Did he?
Guardians of the Galaxy, like, tie-in thing, and he actually was, like, a character in it.
That's interesting.
Acknowledging that he is part of the MCU.
Great. Cool. Definitely get him in a live action
film.
Can't
wait for his spinoff.
You're getting all this shit, man.
Fuck.
You're getting it whether you like it or not. Nobody asked for it, but it's coming down the pipe.
I have no faith in Hollywood.
I mean, we could all stop watching them.
These
fuckers out of business.
We pired all of them. What?
Hey.
Sorry.
Oh, hold on a second.
Beep legally.
That. Shit.
I paid for the 1950s one, actually.
I did too.
I paid YouTube for it.
I didn't pay YouTube.
Well, yeah.
They got enough of my dirty ad money.
Goddamn thing.
Fucking Prager U ads.
I enjoyed both of these movies.
I thought they were both
this
very quality.
This was a rare week.
I was like dreading that one. I was like, that looks so boring. Because I thought it was Field of Dreams, to be fair. So I was like, God, that's such a dumb movie.
You're watching Field of Dreams next week, right?
Field of Dreams. So here's some trivia. Why did they have to blur out the dude's... cursing in 1951 one.
I wondered that, and I tried to find the trivia.
That's the Hayes Code.
You're right.
It's the Hayes Code.
Absolutely.
It
was well done, though. Was like, it was tastefully done, in a way. Yeah. Like,
the Hayes Code was...
I thought it was really well done. For those people who didn't watch it,
they
scramble
it.
His speech. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's like, whereas, it almost sounds like they reversed it.
Like, they definitely did it and, like,
something
layered
like that.
It. Yes, they reversed and layered it.
God vision, Baba,
it was weird. The intent was there. Everybody knew what he was saying.
Yeah. You could tell with the intonation what he was trying to say. But
Guffy.
Guffy. they cut all the profanity and they remixed it because of the Hayes Act.
Hayes Code. It was an unofficial official code.
It was like a self
MPAA.
Kind of self policing maneuver before the government came in and tried. You know, before would have come in and
I figured it was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like you can't depict, but it was a bunch of like do's and don'ts, and it was stuff like you can't depict
a toilet,
churches in a negative light,
women
you can't
with jobs.
No sexually perverse acts.
A toilet. I'm pretty sure Psycho.
Homosexuality.
Like Psycho. That broke the Hayes Code.
Black
it
people
had a toilet.
In professions.
Like a flushing toilet.
Oh, yes. Because you couldn't have any, like, bathroom humor.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have black and white relationships. Like, you couldn't have a black woman and a white man marry or vice versa.
Obviously.
So it was this whole thing before. And it wasn't the government regulating. It was the MPAA regulating itself.
Again,
wasn't
very progressive movie.
Wasn't it called the MPAA back then? I think it was something else, wasn't it?
I don't know. It must have been something else.
Yeah,
but I can't
it had a different name before.
But then once TV came along, it forced them to, well, we've got to do something that they can't get on TV. Mm. So they abolished the Hays Code in Hollywood, and then they were able to do more risque stuff, like in the late 50s.
And that's when, like, 60s movies.
But they were still like, hey, you got to have separate beds.
Yeah, right.
Even if you're married. I don't want any black people kissing white people, first of all. That's off the list.
No enjoyment of extramarital sexual activities.
But smoking cigarettes is fine.
Yeah. Smoking cigarettes.
Let's be clear.
Of course.
All right. Okay.
Absolutely.
You know why the smoking cigarettes was so popular in TV. It's not even for the reason you'd think, which is ad money.
That was a big part of it.
They needed something for people to do with their hands.
Yeah, I guess that. Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, there was a lot of... Because when you were doing...
There was no budget for shit. Like, there was a lot of just, like, play style, like...
Well, when you were doing plays, talking. When you were doing, like, a play, you would have these grand motions because you wanted everyone in the audience
to
see you.
You had the whole stage, yeah.
But when it looked stupid on film, so they were like, hey, stop using your effing hands like that. And the actors were all like, what do I do with my hands?
Fair enough.
That Will Ferrell sketch. And they were just like, here, smoke some cigarettes. And then, of course, the cigarette companies were like, this is great.
Yeah,
make sure the label is facing outward. And advertising was born. I might have made up that last part, but the rest is true.
Yeah, I listened to a really good podcast about like one of the pioneers of PR, and it was the guy who brought the women on Fifth Avenue smoking cigarettes, and he went on to like make bacon popular like 20 years later. You heard that one too?
Yeah. Really?
That was really good.
Can't remember the guy's name now.
Hollandaise or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like, I think it is Hollandaise. Burgundaise.
He invented the sauce?
It's in my playlist like 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, hold on.
Edward Bernays.
Wait, did he invent Bolognese or Hollandaise?
No, neither.
Both.
Oh, wow. This
tobacco
guy.
Flavor. Yeah, he was one of the first like spin men and like the PR guys before PR was actually like
before it was
a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good podcast.
Good for him. Thanks for PR, asshole.
Thanks for ruining a lot of people's lives.
Right?
Yeah.
Thanks for shameless marketing. We really appreciate it.
He did the Virginia Slims thing. Like he was saying, like, if you had an older female relative that died of lung cancer, thank this guy. He was the, like, make them thin, make them sexy. You deserve
they're
it, baby.
Like 120s.
Boom. That was all him. He was like Don Draper.
Man.
Yeah.
Marketing in the day. I mean, I get it, but Jesus. Doctors
marketing
recommended
today, too,
cigarettes.
Is also interesting, but that's a whole other topic.
Oh, well, it's much
companies
sneakier.
Pretending to be people.
Yeah, well.
Hey, speaking of.
That's what marketing is today.
There is a resolution, at least put forward by a lot of Democrats, to end Citizens United recently.
We're going
to
ununite all the citizens?
I feel
like it's already happened.
That's a great. They labeled it perfectly. You hook, line, and sinker.
We did that.
Not about citizens.
4 years ago, I think we did that.
Well, yeah. It's to make corporations not be viewed as people.
Right.
Yes, to undo that. That was only done 10 years ago.
I think it goes back
it maybe
a
like
farther than that.
It was post 9/11, but it was
Romney. No, it was before Romney.
It's ridiculous, is what it is. I mean, there are certain situations where, like, for tax purposes, like it's like they should be treated as a single entity, but that doesn't make them a person.
Yeah,
doesn't make any goddamn
it's
sense.
Fucking ridiculous.
What kind of?
I know. Oh, here we go. Sorry. No.
Don't get me started, Brandon.
That was diving into politics. But I do believe in angels now.
Yeah. Well, dude, how could you not?
I mean, a rabbi, was that guy a pastor and a priest all agreed? Who was the other guy? I missed that.
Oh.
Was he just like a Lutheran?
No, I think it was two priests and a rabbi.
Yeah.
I think it was like a Catholic priest and like the other guy was
a Jesuit.
Some sort of.
Oh. Really?
It was a Catholic, a Jesuit, and
a rabbi.
A what?
Jesuit priest.
Say that again?
Jesuit.
Are you saying Jesuit?
No. Jesuit.
Is it really Jesuit?
I think it's Jesuit. I'm like 99%.
Jay's the most godly of all of us.
He's the most Catholic out of all of us, so I'm going to take his word.
He went to church the longest.
Yeah.
A lot of good it did. No, it was a couple priests and a rabbi, which was interesting.
What was the movie that we saw that had like a similar end courtroom scene, depression? Mr. Deeds. It totally reminded me of like that same, like, we're going to decide at the end of this movie in a courtroom, just like Mr. Smith goes to Washington and Mr. Deeds. And
yep.
It was the newer one had a snappier ending. I'm giving that.
Well, it was, I said something to Christine where I was like, why don't they, like, this is like your typical Miracle on 34th Street.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Same like, thing. Same plot device.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, there's one branch of the government has decided it, so now we have to honor it. Like, all right, so I guess there are angels.
Such a 50s, like, everybody needs to be in suits explaining everything for the audience. Exactly. Sitting down. Yes. Quite a boring scene.
I mean,
it was well acted,
it was an abrupt change of pace.
Thank you. That's what I was like. The commissioner showed up.
You're right about that.
I think in both movies, the whole like persecuting the coach who's on a winning streak because they might think he's a little crazy. Like most sports fans are like, leave that guy the fuck alone.
Yeah,
Belichick's doing great.
I was like, this would never happen. That guy just took his team from last to first place in half a season.
Fucking leave that
guy
alone.
That guy would be like, here's a bag of money. Go see a psychiatrist.
Here's some rabbit's
feet. Keep winning.
Four leaf clovers, do whatever the fuck you gotta do. You brought us like from zero to the pennant.
No way, so Danny Glover is losing his.
And also, how does a radio broadcaster be like, I'm gonna call the commission? Well, he said he was like, position was something with the commission or something.
He was an owner or a part owner, sounded like when he was talking about it.
When in his first, like, I'm a pissed off announcer guy and I'm gonna quit today.
Yeah.
He said something about like commission, so maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But as far as loose plot threads go, it was pretty tight.
All together, I thoroughly enjoyed
it. Like I said, unexpected romance with Janet Leigh and Guffy, but I liked it.
Well, that's the thing. They didn't telegraph it either.
They didn't, and they didn't make it too schmaltzy, mm-hmm. like, at all. They didn't even kiss.
You know what the nice thing about the new one was?
Because they weren't married yet, so they couldn't.
That's exactly.
Thank you, Jay.
New one, no love interest at all.
No.
No romance plot.
No, not at all.
Not at all, which, I mean, it's risky fine. Move, but...
I was kind of waiting for it. I was refreshing. Like, is there a love interest? I was like waiting for it. And I was like, I guess not. There really isn't a love interest.
Name a movie without a love interest.
No, I mean,
Angels in the Outfield.
Besides Angels in the Outfield.
Except the one we're talking about right now.
You said a movie and I did.
Thanks, Jay. You're excellent at this.
What do I win? Boy, I win.
You sure add to the conversation, Jay. Thanks for coming
2001
out.
2001 A Space Odyssey.
Arguable. I feel like there's some sexual tension between David and the ship.
Yeah. Hal does sing and everything. Right?
I can't let you do that, Dave.
Daisy.
Star Trek Generations.
I don't even remember that movie.
I don't think there is.
No, I don't. I don't think that's a movie I've seen.
You've definitely seen.
Is that a memorable Star Trek movie I should enjoy?
No,
it's the
no.
One with, it's
oh,
the one with
okay.
the Borg, right? It's the one with the Borg.
Yeah. No. That's First Contact.
Oh, is it? Okay, so it's the one where Kirk and McCoy get put in prison.
No, that's Star Trek VI.
That's it.
Oh, okay. Insurrection?
No, that's the one where Picard wants to bang that geriatric.
That was the worst one. That,
the stretchy face.
That one sucks.
It might be the last one's the worst one.
Sona.
The clone one. Where
yes,
Picard's clone for no
Picard.
Reason.
Destroy mind rape. That's it.
Clone
that,
Picard
that's, I was out after
that's,
that.
That's the worst
out.
One.
Like, I'm punched out after that. I was like, this is awful.
Yeah.
Written by Brent Spiner and his friend.
And then Generations. Yes. Generations and Insurrection are in a tie for next worst.
Generations was like my second Trek in theaters, and I had such high hopes. And I enjoyed it at the time because I was 9.
Yeah.
Remember that time Kirk punched Sauron?
Remember when...
Man.
Remember when the missile took 7 seconds
to reach the sun?
Yep.
Remember when
the most lauded sci-fi franchise in the history of...
Yeah.
Christine and I were watching an episode of TNG last night, and I turned to her and I was like, this is so easy. They're doing this all wrong. They've got these, even in the shows, they've got these massive, overarching, serious, intense plots where they're going for the twist and they're going for the subversion.
We're talking about the new stuff. Right?
The new
stuff. Yeah.
Any new Star Trek. Name a new Star Trek.
We're not, Picard isn't out, and we already know that's going to be
the show. Yeah, well, it's a chosen one
10-hour
narrative.
Movie. Yeah,
so,
yeah,
absolutely. All they need to do is make an episode where they go, you need connectable characters that you like, and they need to go on an adventure every week. Yep. And that's it. And no one's doing that. And like it's the simplest thing. We'd all enjoy it.
They tried to do it with Voyager, and they fucked it up, and they're never going to go back to that again.
Enterprise
Voyager,
did okay.
Voyager
Enterprise
had connected plots. Enterprise 100% was serialized
but
storytelling.
But not like 100%.
Yes, but not
like
as much
like
as...
Way.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
They did small arcs, but they didn't... And there were overarching...
I think the reason people really didn't like Enterprise is because where it fit in the timeline and how
it
made a lot of things wonky.
It was also early, like, oh, it looks different, even though it's a prequel. We're a little touchy about
that. Was the thing, yeah.
They're trying to shoehorn shit in a prequel.
The technology doesn't make sense.
Broken record. Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And
the Borg.
They tried to tie everything. Yes, they tried to tie everything back to it. They were like, oh, remember that thing that happened? Turns out Enterprise is involved. You didn't even know it.
I'm kind
Fuck that shit.
Stop
Send it
up.
Set it 50 years in the future. Yep. No prequels. And now you
Discovery
can do.
Would have been perfect.
Well, you can do all sorts of cool stuff in the future.
They finally, two seasons, they finally figured that out. But
yeah. Oh,
if they had just done that from the fucking beginning.
You can do the Romulans are experimenting on the Borg. You can do, you know, the Dominion is now involved in Federation politics.
Which I'm excited to see.
You can do a whole bunch of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You just fit it into a show, an adventure a week.
I'm okay with even, like, in the first and second season of Discovery, there were a couple of, like, break episodes, like the time loop one, where it was like, okay, give me four more of those interspersed throughout this.
Every episode should be a break episode.
When you're running a 10 to 13 episode season, you can't do
well, because these seasons are too fucking short and that's stupid.
I would be interested to, and maybe I'll just look this up when I go home and
problem of the streaming age.
But think about, like, Deep Space Nine, which was the most serialized of Trek before Discovery, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had a 26 episode season for those last few seasons, and even in there, yep. I would say every other episode almost was a break
like
episode.
The Dominion War was happening.
It was happening
it
in
was
the background.
Always happening.
But you had character pieces
right.
in between
yes.
there. Mm-hmm. So I
because
bet...
Because that's what people like about the show, the yes. character.
Mm-hmm. And I bet 10 to 13 of those episodes per season were probably what you would classify as a break episode. Not
oh,
a,
yeah.
Not like a Sacrifice of Angels. Not a,
yes.
you know, What You Leave Behind.
Siege
not
of
AR-15.
Yeah.
Well, Siege of AR-15 is
oh
interesting because it's
long,
it's like
such
a long break
lasting
episode. But it's
like consequences with Nog.
It's not like a part of the whole Dominion War.
No.
It doesn't advance the Dominion War plot.
No, you're right.
It doesn't,
right.
But it goes to show you the day to day fight that
yeah.
they're,
I mean, like,
they're
yeah,
in
that,
during
that,
the war.
So that
so
kind
I think
of
it goes to
the
establish
war.
The
yeah,
war.
Yeah, Jamie's like, the hunted.
In the cards.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm talking about an episode right. like, you
the
know, in the cards where it's just like, that's a character episode about Jake and Nog trying to get a card for their dad,
which is one
right,
of the
right.
cutest
it's,
best episodes.
It's such a good episode.
Such a great episode.
The great material continuum.
Yes, and the what is it? The League of Orthodoxy.
It's like a river.
That's like the greatest fucking speech. It's so great. Mm-hmm.
You have to trust.
What
trust the continuum will bring you what you need.
What is the crazy guy like? The something of Orthodoxy.
I don't know.
He's like
Minions of Orthodoxy.
Yeah, like the
like
soulless
that.
Minions of
That's
Orthodoxy.
That's what it is.
Yes,
yep.
yeah.
Yep.
And the ending with fucking Wei Yun. That's just everybody just got. You could tell everybody had a great time with that episode too. Like you telling you did all of this, or you just wanted to get this baseball card for your dad.
But like shit like that, like where you, that's what you can do now, and that's what's missing when you don't have a 24 to 26 episode.
Where did it start?
Which is why you just do that instead. I feel like they're blowing all this cash to make these big extravagant 10-episode things.
You know, like
when you could have a
away
much
missions are usually cheap. They go to a fucking quarry or a soundstage.
Yeah,
like you don't have to have
you could have a much
everything.
Cheaper 24-episode, 20-episode, whatever you want to do show where we see characters we like go on cool adventures that reference things we remember from their history of 50 years ago.
I'm sure there's reasons we don't know of specifically, but I also think it's like a cynical way that they. Like just belittle our attention spans that they're like they won't be able to stick through a 20 nobody sticks around for a 26 episode streaming season these days.
That's
nobody
dumb.
Does it is and I agree with you
that's
but
like everyone who told Joe Rogan no one listened to a 3-episode podcast a 3-hour podcast.
Do you think these producers that keep making these fucking remakes and Hollywood give a shit or are actually like
but I want serialized
connected to
I want
the zeitgeist track
too.
So
I want them to do I want a Deep Space Nine. I want a mix of serialized and standalone episodes.
Right, and that's fine. Yeah. The thing is you need to have it needs to be simpler and less tied together. In Discovery, everything was a thing about the Red Angel.
To
oh,
a fault.
The Red
to
Angel.
A fault. Like,
oh, my
gosh. To
the gosh.
Point where at the end of it, half of it didn't make sense.
But if you're going to have to tell story and you're going to have to do plot exposition and you only have 13 episodes, you can realistically, and you're going to do
which is why you need
you
more.
You have to. I agree.
Man, we're agreeing to the same thing.
Those 13 episodes are your plot episodes. If you're a 26 episode season,
you don't
season,
get a chance to sparse.
Right? Like if you
episodes.
Use Deep Space Nine as the archetype,
mm-hmm.
those 13 episodes were your plot episodes, but they get broken
but
apart
it was like episode
from
one
September
and two,
to
episode
May.
Six, episode, yeah, exactly. Everything else.
You know, and in between there, we're throwing in a Ferengi episode. We're throwing in a Worf and Dax
the
episode.
Magnificent Ferengi.
And you know what, though? Here's the thing, because in all these shows, including the It's Water Running,
okay.
In DS9 and Enterprise, which I would argue are their two good serialized shows.
I'm kind of with you. I never really thought about it that
season
way, but it's
four
like
of Enterprise.
It was closer to DS9.
They're their only
than
serialized shows.
Yeah, because they
well I mean, not Discovery and I'm talking all Trek, all Trek. Those two were. No, I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Enterprise,
DS9, serialized shows of. Oh, the first couple seasons of those aren't serialized.
No.
It's all random adventures.
No, they just reference. They have continuity, which separated it from Voyager.
But there
and
wasn't
TNG
like.
TNG to an extent.
The Dominion War wasn't a thing in the first couple seasons.
No, end of season two?
First
learn
about the
first...
Dominion at the end of season two.
No, you learn about it with the episode with. The female Ferengi who was undercover,
right?
Those
but,
guys,
but you don't know it's
going to
be a big thing,
and the name gets dropped here and there,
right? Which is fine. Do that subtle stuff. Great,
no
problem.
Yeah, good foreshadowing.
But if things like Discovery and you know the Kelvin timeline, and they're just like, hey, boom! Look at what's going on in Star Trek.
Remember that robot lady you just met? She's fucking dead.
Yeah, yeah. and she was part of a bigger plot that you didn't even fucking know about. And
and now
shut up.
Saru is a predator.
Shut up.
But if you had, I think Discovery
that
season
Saru
2 had
thing
could have
been two episodes.
That's what I was about to say.
That was supposed to be. Should have been.
That's what I was going to say. Discovery season 2 has some really
cool
good ideas,
jets.
But they couldn't execute them all because they only had 13 episodes. If you had 26 episodes, that Saru thing is 2 to 3 episodes.
And
you
and it
see
been
his
good
procession.
Yeah.
Then the robot lady who died, you introduce her in the beginning, and it's more meaningful because that's what you could tell they were trying, and that's why
it was backloading.
That's why I cut them a lot more slack on season two than I think you do, Dave, and I think even you do.
Probably.
Because I think I saw what they were going for, and
well,
I think
they
their
heard
hands
feedback.
Are tied by Kurtzman, and
I think they were really rushing to get themselves to the new slate of the future too.
Yes, I also think that was it.
They
too.
Were like, okay, let's just get this season over with, and we're gonna make the biggest leap in Star Trek history, so we can kind of carte blanche do whatever we want. And they're there, and I'm happy they're there, and I'm excited. But yeah, I guess I'm a little bit harder on it than I used to be. But
I think that they were definitely trying to put that stuff there, but I think their hands were tied by the showrunner. And
but
I
you
think,
could tell they heard feedback. They listened to feedback.
Oh, they definitely did. The first two seasons are drastically different. And if you talk about how TNG, first two seasons of TNG. Compared to the later seasons of TNG,
it's like, night and day.
You know, we can hope that Discovery is following that trend.
God
of
willing,
Trek's getting better with age.
Hopefully, the studio has to believe though. That's the thing; they've got to stick with it. They're so cancel happy for streaming shows these days.
Yeah, that's true too.
But CBS All Access is standing alone on Star Trek, though.
It's cancel culture,
that's
man.
That's all that it has. Right
that's
now.
True because they does CBS All Access have
no,
anything?
That's
else?
All that's keeping people subscribed.
Well, they have Picard,
especially international.
No,
too.
I mean other than Star Trek.
But
no,
that's
no.
also bringing new people. That will be bringing new people. But like Star Trek
hopefully.
Is their only IP that's bringing them people in. I don't know anybody who would have it otherwise.
What else does CBS have?
I'm trying.
Big
to
Bang Theory, and that can burn in hell.
But
yeah.
That's on network.
Exactly. No, exclusive. You're right. That's exactly
Star
it.
Trek is the only license that they
and
have.
And now all the other Trek shows as well.
What yes. a desperate
shorts,
move.
It's dirty.
I'll tell you what, though.
It's
other
dirty.
Netflix lost, like $14 billion in one day?
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing so hot either.
They shouldn't have been throwing all their money at producing shit.
That was my thing. That was like,
they
dude, you guys are spending so much.
They slapped their fucking logo on
like
fucking everything.
Was that?
Why did they lose so much? Was it the subscriptions or just the stocks?
Infinite growth.
Well, yeah, it's a stock issue because people, they only got like they were expected to get like 10 million new subscribers,
but
they only
to
got
have
like
unrealistic
four.
Growth after
yeah,
a certain point.
Because they upped their fucking
fee.
Their fee.
Right. Of course. Well, yeah, there's an unrealistic growth model that's expected in any public company.
A lot of people
which,
have it already. It's pretty ubiquitous. Like, I don't know how much more, like, they can grow more, but not by the leaps and bounds they did originally.
And you allow four people on an account, too. So you
and when you're
that
a public company and there's an expectation that's set by the market, even if you're growing. If you miss that expectation, a correction occurs where people go, oh, shit.
You're not actually worth this much.
Everything's baked into the market already. You have to assume what things are priced so quickly because of the way information travels, the speed at which information travels, that things adjust for value immediately. So all of a sudden, everyone's going, oh, they're going to get 10 million new subscribers, and they only get four. And they're like, oh, shit, these aren't worth $30 a share. They're worth like $20 a share. Get rid of this fucking crap. So even though you're growing, you weren't growing fast enough for the market. Which is why being a public company is tricky business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Risky.
Mm-hmm.
risky business.
Yeah, we can get into a whole conversation about corporations and shit, but I feel like we're over an hour in. Does anybody have any interesting notes they want to, anything high priority? I wrote a bunch of notes on the first one and not so many on the second one.
What'd you like? What do you got for the first one? I was trying to do like
voice recording. The fucker eats ketchup on his steak.
Yeah, that's like second note. I was like, oh, of course he does.
At first I was like, oh, let that be A1. Oh, no, no, it's fucking ketchup.
Of course he does.
That was like, the angel should have said that.
Yeah, like you I don't care about anything else.
Stop swearing. Stop
here's a
hitting
bottle
people.
Of Peter Luger's.
Yeah, and stop putting ketchup on your steak.
You
all right,
fucking
fuck
animal.
And they kind of had, I kind of thought of it as a callback in the second one where they, oh, no, it's not the second one. It's the first one where they overcook a steak.
Yeah.
There's
like
a whole steak theme.
Yeah, he liked steak, and then they were going to prank him by overcooking the steak.
That was his thing. He really liked his steak.
Yes. Which who doesn't? I mean, I love my steak.
Well, with ketchup? How could you not?
Ugh. What else you got?
Nothing.
Did he set the announcer on fire? Or was that just me?
What?
What?
He punched him.
Yeah,
he
dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. He gets the announcer fired. I just read that note.
What movie are you fucking?
He gets the announcer fired, and the announcer's like, he's drunk, and he's like, hey, fuck you, asshole. That's the thing you forget. The announcer was a drunk asshole because the guy got him fired.
No.
He was out drunk, and he was like, hey, fuck you, man. You got me
fired. And then later in the day, they meet up at the restaurant. He's not visibly or implied drunk. And he was like getting his hat, and he's like, I want to have a word with you. Then
takes him in the closet
kind
and beats
sucker
the crap out of
him.
Yeah.
But he was so irascible
right.
at
then
that
he
point.
Does show up drunk later.
But
then
yeah,
he's
he got fired, then hired by the New York Giants, though. Which in 1951, the San Francisco Giants played for New York.
Right.
Back for our
yes.
listeners.
Yeah.
But those guys, the guy has like a legitimate gripe. The dude got him fired, and then he beat him up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't disagree.
So even that character, I had a hard time not liking.
Yeah,
like, oh,
they're bad. Kind of bad. They got a mustache. He got a mustache.
Yeah, he did have a mustache.
He had a mustache.
That's
a
good
drinking.
Point, Brandon. That's a very
Nobody
good
else
point.
Was drinking. Nobody else was drinking.
You weren't supposed to show a lot of alcohol.
And drunkenness.
Yeah. Yeah. They could act drunk but not drink,
yes.
I guess.
I think they had to like show that it was bad.
Yes.
You couldn't
glorify it
for sure.
What did they qualify it as? Because I knew, I've known about this code.
I started
looking into it, and they qualified it with something. Like if you showed an immoral act, basically, mm-hmm. you had to show almost like comeuppance for that act.
Oh.
There could be no immoral, and if a character, you couldn't have a protagonist who did immoral things without demonstrating, if it was a rarity, or you had to demonstrate that the immorality was bad, and they got,
In actuality, that's just called good writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad character gets what they deserve.
I mean, simple writing.
In
real life.
But it's realistic writing.
But you couldn't have,
of course
for example...
They do.
I know, this is
but that's
gritty,
subverting
this
your expectations,
yes,
Brandon.
Yes, it is. You're right.
That's
right.
Exactly.
You wouldn't have... Like,
in real life,
husband,
if you're a dick, bad things tend to happen to you. If I go around punching people, bad things are going to happen to me.
Yeah.
That's
generally.
Like... If your kids are watching a movie, you want to be like, oh, yeah, that's true.
Don't be a dick. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's a life
That's
lesson.
Pretty much the lesson.
Don't punch
that's
people.
Like the easiest lesson to get for both of these.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, God is good.
Yeah, and angels.
And
all praise
Dave's
be to him.
Now converted. Yeah.
How sad was
converted.
It that, how sad was it that the pitcher
I was always
had,
Jewish, Jay.
Pitcher had to die in both movies. Well, you don't see him die, but like he's doomed to die. It's sweet the way the angels say it though, like both times.
He's coming up to play for us.
Yeah, it's like, don't worry, he'll be on a good team, but you know, he's had a hard life. Da, 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 or whatever. And like Guffy was like legitimately like, oh shit. Like, no. Oh fuck. Like that was sad.
No, it was like that his was, only friend.
Yeah.
It was
the only guy who fucking listened to him and like that they talked. Yeah.
Yeah,
and the other one, you're like, Tony Danza, no.
I hope he makes it.
Oh, wait, he was nice smoking in the first scene.
Well, that's the thing. They squeezed in that, too. They were
that
like,
was a Disney.
He's been smoking for years. Never a good decision.
That was a good PG message. PG
thanks,
90s,
thanks,
you don't
Brown.
See that shit anymore. You don't see people smoking at all.
No, definitely not.
Unless they're like a bad guy in an R-rated movie.
I just saw Netflix is like saying they're going to have less smoking in Stranger Things or something like that.
That kind of.
I just saw a thing.
It's a period piece, so I actually kind of don't mind it.
No, I agree.
I don't
and
care,
I,
yeah.
Yeah,
sometimes
and then
there
was
it does
a
bother
about
me.
It,
where
it was like,
you know, it's probably good not me not seeing impulses to go outside and smoke a cigarette.
Like, that's the thing. It bothers me a little bit when I'm like, did that character really need that cigarette?
Yeah, there
this
are
seems
times.
Like a stupid cigarette.
You always watch something, you're like, eh.
Like, at least in Angels in the Outfield, it fit in with the plot. They were like, he's going to die, so we got to give him a reason to die. Cigarettes.
Not just a bum shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in the 1950s one.
Yeah, they didn't really explain.
Yeah, he's got a bad shoulder, so
he's gonna die. It was 1951. People just died. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They didn't have medicine back then. Yeah. They were still like grinding up herbs and like pouring into your eyeballs or something.
Like call cancer out by name.
Yeah, yeah. They'd be like, "Oh, I'm not feeling well. Oh, well, here's a voodoo doll. So we'll just put that in a nice warm bath, and that'll fix you right up."
Here's some smelling salts and mercury. Have fun.
Now we're so advanced. I mean, you just adjust your chakras and you're all good to go.
Some hot yoga, you're good to go.
2019, baby. Medical genius.
Let's remake Angels in the Outfield.
I go to a chiropractor.
How is that working? You've said a couple
times. He told me to come back in 2 weeks. I've been going to him every week, and he was like, "You're actually looking real good, so come back in 2 weeks."
Spirit touching. I believe they're doing something.
Well, I was kind of impressed. I was like, "Wait, you want me to come less?" And he's like, "Yeah, you don't need as much anymore."
Doctors don't usually say that.
That's not super scammy. Now I might be convinced.
Yeah, see, I've heard like I was, you know, for fencing, like my back was all fucked up from fencing. But I've also heard
offenses.
It doesn't like do much shit. I don't know. I never.
I had a therapist tell me that once. She's like, "You're doing all right. Maybe like once every other week." I was like, "Cool, progress."
Hard to believe for you, Brandon.
And then I immediately stumbled 15 stairs down on my face.
Every other week. Wow. So you don't go every other day?
I don't go anymore.
Oh. Why? Oh, that explains so much.
Why aren't you going?
Huh?
Go.
Because he doesn't have insurance.
Oh.
And my last job did cover it, which was nice.
Because he's unemployed. I had to get one in.
I know.
One employment thing. Oh, but so is Jay.
Eventually there'll be news where I'm like, I have a job.
I am under contract.
There will be news. And we'll say it on the podcast.
Day to celebrate.
Our fans are following along. They're rooting for you, Brandon.
Eagerly awaiting.
I get.
We got more listeners, by the way.
I get tens of tweets.
Do we get emails? Do we get any emails?
I actually checked our email. There's nothing in there except from YouTube.
Yeah. Nobody's emailing us.
We get emails and it's like, "Dear YouTube content creator," and I'm like, "Ah, oh God,
that's so cute."
We're kind of okay. Wow, how
we
sad is that?
Utilize a bot to shove out our podcast on YouTube.
Dear YouTube content creator, like, hey, we're PewDiePie guys. We're right up there.
Napcast,
just call me Ninja.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no.
Yep.
Dave's flossing right now, and he needs to stop.
I am.
Please stop.
I love this floss.
Cringy.
It gets food out of your teeth.
I hate that word cringy.
Really?
The word cringy?
Cringe makes you cringe?
Is it cringe? Do you make it cringe? Yeah.
It's dude, so did a cringe.
Shut up.
Cringe is so cringe?
Two things I hate from, because I just said the other thing.
There are certain things about meme culture that fucking piss me off.
Get hype. No. I hate when people say, "Get hype. Hey, let's see some hype for this."
You're like nobody tells me what to do.
It's not a verb. It's not a verb.
What does that mean?
Get hyped. But instead of saying get hyped for this, like get excited for this, they say get hype. Let's hear some hype. Oh, hype.
Well,
it's not a verb.
Is a noun.
They're using it as a verb.
Sure. I understand you, and I think there's just lazy people don't put on the D because I haven't really.
I fucking hate it.
Okay. Well.
Those are like two.
I'm not so hype about this episode anymore, Dave.
Shut the fuck up. Now Jay's brought us down with things he hates. We have a new segment called Things Jay Hates.
Jay's Triggered Corner. Fuck.
Yeah. Jay's Triggered Corner. Jay's Cringy Corner.
Oh.
That's what we're calling
Jay's
it.
Jay's Tots.
That's what we're calling it. Jay's Cringy Corner.
That sucks.
It's all right. If I have words that I don't
word,
like either.
I hate you too.
But you do cringe. I cringe at things.
Stop calling it cringy.
Why?
What other word is there for? Uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable?
Embarrassed for the people on screen? That's a little bit of a mouthful.
Is it that cringy isn't a word? Is that your problem?
That might be part of the
problem.
No, I mean, it's...
Cringy isn't... No, that's...
Cringe is a word.
Part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure true.
Kringle?
Plus, I don't get Kringle. The appeal. Like, people watch, like, cringe porn, and I'm like...
For a hot minute, I was into it, then I was like, these people are idiots. Even
like,
the people
oh,
watching this stuff.
The schadenfreude of watching someone be in an uncomfortable situation, that makes me slightly uncomfortable.
It makes me more uncomfortable.
Boy!
Like, yeah.
This is great. Bring me more of that.
Like
I avoid this in public.
I watched H3 for like a minute, and then I was like, "Eh,
I don't know what that is."
What is that?
Ethan H3 Productions.
Oh,
they're like the biggest like.
Does
cringe
he do a podcast
review.
Where?
Yes,
he
does the H3 podcast.
Okay, where he talks about mostly video games
a lot
and stuff.
Of garbage. No, he has like video game people on, but he also has
maybe
like,
I've seen a couple of them because he does some video game coverage.
He's had a ton of. Like all across the board people, but he's not a very good podcaster, in my opinion. Just my opinion.
He's like from Israel or something.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know if he is, but his wife is. Hila is, yeah. And they met in Israel.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I only know him because he's got some video game content that I've
yes,
like a couple of videos of him on the podcast have come up on my feed. So that's interesting, though.
The algorithm feeds us all, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, hopefully, well, I live on a steady diet of good content.
Me too.
Good free content.
It's Shark Week. A lot of science channels are doing shark stuff.
It's the age of plenty, man.
It is. This is a time to remember, even if some people are taking it for granted. Like, it might change, and it's changing every day.
Oh, the content that we have available to us?
It's kind of absurd.
I mean, even though Netflix sucks, the amount of shit they have on there.
Yeah, but like I'm just talking about like the YouTube too. Just
YouTube for free, anybody can make anything.
Mm-hmm. And it's allowing people to put out stuff.
We're on there.
Mostly shit, but
yeah, we're on there.
Yeah, we're on there. I can't believe I was surprised I didn't recognize the guy who played Guffy in the first one.
Who was it?
I didn't recognize him. I was like, you would expect it, but he was a good actor. Whoever he was,
I wouldn't expect.
I know some 50s people. Mm.
You knew the lady actor.
Janet Leigh. She's from Psycho.
Janet Leigh.
She gets stabbed in the shower.
Oh, okay.
We need to do that. Oh, no. I don't want us to remake the remakes so bad.
Oh, so my buddy Andrew was talking about wanting to do an episode.
Oh.
And he's a big horror fan and a big superhero fan. So he said, if you know, think about horror or superhero stuff we haven't done. I told him we haven't done Batman. He's a big Batman fan.
That's going to be a big
Batman
one.
Batman movies.
We have to be strategic about which ones we do there.
Well, we could always do it. We could do it in
stages.
We do
like the one and one, two and two. Yeah.
Exactly. Just like we did with Jurassic Park and Star Trek and everything else. But Psycho would be interesting.
Psycho is a good one.
I'm sure he's into that.
The first one's still pretty good.
So yeah, I'm gonna put that together. We might have to do like a Friday episode.
Sure.
Because he was like, it's a lot. It's like 2 hours plus for him to get here. So he was like, if I come, I want to crash.
Let's do a big one.
So
yeah.
I was like, yeah, all right, we'll do like a Friday night thing, and you can just stay over.
Probably get a couple episodes out of it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So Andrew, it's weird, plugging our show. Obviously, we'll be on his show also. We'll do some cross promotion.
Yeah.
Although last time we tried to do cross promotion, it didn't work out well. But we'll leave that at that.
I don't care.
But yeah, I told him, Andrew, if you're listening, it's weird for me to call you Andrew because I always call you by your last name, but I don't want to blow up your spot by using your last name because we don't do that unless we've checked with you first. But
it's called A. Simpson.
A. Simpson.
No, too obvious.
It's called
call him Andrew.
Andrew S. So yeah, man, we'll get that going. And you fuckers got anything else to say about angels in the ozone?
Oh, that's
nobody.
That's a good one. Let's do that one. They're trying to fix the ozone, but everybody's being a dick.
It's the remake.
Mm-hmm. Trump gets the angel.
It's what was that movie? Year After Next or
Day After Tomorrow?
Day After Tomorrow. Yeah, it's a crossover.
I got nothing more on Angels in the Outfield, but what if our listeners do have things on Angels in the Outfield, they should feel free to DM us on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook at NAFCAST or send us an email at NAFCAST@gmail.com. That's NAFCAST@gmail.com.
Jay's marketing. I'm so proud of you, Jay.
We have a producer.
Yeah, look at that.
That was pretty good.
Did you share our content this week? There's a Facebook post and everything.
What's Facebook?
What? Yeah, exactly.
I really like burn it to the ground. Every day I hate it more and more.
Dude, I don't use it for anything except for posting pictures of my dog and promoting this podcast. So
I mean, get
with the program. All right, pal. Get with it.
I'm gonna have to like copy Jay's. I don't want to be on there publicly anymore.
Oh God,
I don't know.
Jay's on there. What are you talking about?
But not like publicly.
You are. You have a profile.
Yeah, it's only accessible to
people. To friends. Have to approve it. Right?
Yeah.
God, all right, so this podcast is never going to go anywhere, guys. It's been fun.
This is why I rely on you guys to push it out there, because I can't post them.
I've got two miraculous co-hosts.
This is why we grow by 2.5% a month.
But if you guys would love to spread the word, too.
I got us a few more.
Give us a mention. Make sure to tag us at NAFCAST on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, you guys could tag us or like repost us or retweet us.
Shout out to Dan and Tori, our new fans.
Who?
Dan and Tori, our new fans.
Oh.
They're like some... family friends that are like, we like your podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, Dan, Tori, what's going on, guys? Thanks for listening. Brand's going to get you free t-shirts, tickets to our live show.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. That would be fun.
Yeah, we're holding our own E3 this year.
Nobody would have us. No, we have a popular podcast. Please book us.
We have a podcast. So we'll have to figure out what we're doing next week.
I have these jump drives here.
What the hell's on them?
I happen to have a copy of Ghost in the Shell, both the original and the remake on these. I loaded them up just so it would be very convenient for somebody who doesn't want to seek it out, you know?
I figured we'd do something good. All right. Brandon's going to make us watch anime, everybody. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this, and we're going to do something nobody asked for next week. I guess I'll just get a porn virus from this.
I formatted them today.
Okay? Oh, wow.